to episode 136 of
Brutal Battle.
Yeah, we're back. This is the final entry of this session of Brutal Battling with Kyle Norman, Nathan Kolasnik.
Hi.
Hello.
We're gonna get this done.
Oh, I should have did the Olo from Megamind.
Olo.
I don't think I've seen Megamind actually, I forgot.
It's Will Ferrell plays Megamind. He's like the big-headed blue guy, and Brad Pitt plays.
I've seen bits and pieces of it.
You know, Mr. Metro City, Metro Man.
All right, well...
Don't forget you need to do your hand gestures.
No, I know. I was about to. Don't worry. Let's do hop knowledge. You happy now, Kyle?
I think it's going to be like the new Dougie or something like that.
Oh, I could do that. I have to do a YouTube video, though.
It's going to be the next Macarena.
The new
Whip
and Nene.
Is that the new one?
Yeah.
I'll have to make that a YouTube video. God. So.
That dates me a little bit if I'm talking about Macarena.
Yeah.
Do the hop knowledge.
Well, they're actually for the... For this hop, there really are no examples.
Oh, okay.
Not because it hasn't been used, but I don't know. The website didn't have it. So anyway, it's Tomahawk hops. Part of the CTZ tribe, which is Columbus, Tomahawk, Zeus. These three hop varieties are lumped together for a few reasons. At one time, three different varieties were sold to different hop growers. They all marketed them under different names, C, T, and Z. It was later discovered through gas chromatograph that Columbus was the same variety as Tomahawk. This created a conflict that resulted in a joint venture by the name of Hughes Says LLC. You can still find Tomahawk and Columbus on the market. Zeus, from the same source but different variety, is so similar in quality and character that it gets associated with these other two. So basically, they're basically saying it's like so interchangeable with Columbus and Zeus that it's
basically the same.
Yeah, just about the same thing. So
that's all right.
It's like there you go. You have your hop knowledge.
Cougar, puma, mountain lion.
Right, right. Yeah. Different varieties of large cats.
Groundhog, whistle pig, land beaver.
Yeah. Whistle pig. What the hell's a whistle pig?
You ever heard of whistle pig?
No.
Have you ever heard of groundhog?
Yeah.
It squeals and like it's almost like this whistle.
Okay.
Well, then that's why they call it whistle.
Okay,
beaver.
That makes sense.
And my buddy from college always called them the land beaver, even though beavers technically live on land.
Yeah,
anyway,
exactly. Yep.
Didn't make any sense to me, but I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
You know what else I thought was funny?
Huh.
There was a gentleman recently who was arrested for trespassing on the Budweiser brewery.
Yeah.
Do you know what his name was, sir?
You told me, but tell the listeners.
The gentleman's name was Bud Weiser. It was apparently some German guy or...
Yeah, which sounds like... Yeah.
Yeah, that his name is literally Bud Weiser, who was arrested for trespassing on the Bud Weiser property, which made me laugh.
When he got arrested, was he just like, I'm allowed to be here. I'm Bud Weiser, man.
And then
they check his ID and they're like, wow, he really is Bud Weiser. Maybe he isn't supposed to be here.
Yeah. But that would be like my buddy Pip, Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
Going to the White House and be like, no, it's cool, I'm Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
Past president.
Former president, what's up? I mean, do you know if he was like brought up on charges? Like, did he just get kicked out?
I have no idea. It was one of those articles that I was perusing through and just thought it was funny and didn't really care that much about, so I didn't get into it.
Well, first we're going to do a warm-up beer, and I teased this recently, so... this is a beer that's pretty highly coveted by beer geeks.
Eat your heart out, people that are listening.
I've never had it before, so this is my first go-around with it. It is by The Brewery, and it is the Black Tuesday Imperial Stout aged in bourbon barrels.
Bah, bah, bah.
It's 19.9% alcohol by volume. So
I like how the label, it has The Brewery, and then it also has Black Tuesday as the name of the beer, but in between those two, it says contains alcohol. just to make sure you're not buying some fruit punch or something like that.
Right.
They want you to know that it contains alcohol.
Yeah, well, it contains mass amounts of alcohol, because 19.9% is friggin' huge for a beer.
Super. You know what else is pretty huge for a beer?
The smell?
Smokey and the Boys.
Yeah, that was
That's
good
also
one.
Up in the 19s.
All right, so what do you smell on this?
Oh, bourbon.
Sex?
Lots and lots of bourbon. vanilla caramel.
That's funny because it actually says on the label, Nathan, we'll get you laid.
No.
No, it doesn't. That's fun.
No,
I'm joking. But yeah, no. Bourbon.
Now we know
dark chocolate.
Now we know why Rebecca's with you.
Yeah, there you go.
It's the Black Tuesday.
Yeah. There's some caramel in there. Caramel, bourbon, dark chocolate. I feel like that's mainly what I get.
Yeah.
It smells so rich, like barrels. So dark.
Mm. Maybe some like dark fruits.
Mm-hmm.
You get a little bit of the fig date.
Something a little sweet.
Yeah,
I could see that. I definitely could see that. I get so much bourbon on this, though. Like,
it's
predominantly bourbon and dark chocolate.
Yeah.
Like, so.
Then there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there shouldn't be anything wrong with that.
That's
kind of what we look for.
Woo! Man. It's so alcoholic, it almost comes off a little bit sweet. A little more sweet than you would think.
Yeah.
Comes off pretty sweet.
You get... It's like a sweet caramel.
Ooh.
Oh, there's a lot of burn in the afterburn there.
At 19 point, you know, whatever percent. Yeah,
9.9, basically 20%, basically.
There should be a little bit of burn. That is so nice.
You got to really really take your time with
this. This is a sipper.
Big time sipper.
Caution to all listeners, this is a sipper, and it's definitely a sharer.
Yeah.
This is not something that you're going to tackle on your own on a Saturday.
I feel warm.
Now, do you know what this actually reminds me a lot of? Is drinking a fresh worldwide stout. How big and strong everything is.
Worldwide stout doesn't have that bourbon character, though.
Yeah, no, it doesn't have the bourbon, but right, as far as
sweet and the
as far as the flavor, how strong and sweet and...
Wow.
Oh. That... burns for a while afterwards.
I like it. I love
no, it's quite good. I like it. I see what all the fuss is about. It's really good. It's really strong.
That chocolate comes through, that dark chocolate.
Yeah. I get that fig and date aspect as well.
Yep.
Lots of caramel. Obviously tons of bourbon.
Yeah, tons of bourbon.
Some vanilla.
Oh yeah.
Some vanilla in there from the barrel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good beer. I'm going to have to, like, take the tiniest little baby sips over the course of hours to be okay with this, but...
And it's thick.
It's nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's got nice, like, a thinner... Mouth. It has, like, a thinner carbonation to it.
Mm-hmm. I actually thought that the mouthfeel would be a lot thicker than it is, which is fine with me, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, a medium-heavy mouthfeel. Yeah,
definitely got some legs to it, dude.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
It doesn't need to pour like motor oil like 1050 does. It doesn't. Not all beers need to be that thick.
Have you ever had Old Harveston's Old English engine oil? It really does pour like engine oil, but it's kind of cool.
I think I did once, maybe.
This was probably, good lord, probably 8 to 10 years ago that I've had it. But like when I had it, like it was dark, it was roasty, it was good. And then it finished clean, and I liked that about it. And that was kind of one of my introductions into stouts, but it can't hold a candle to this.
This is good.
This is phenomenal, man.
I'm, like, breathing the alcohol out of my nose.
I feel like a dragon.
Yeah, exactly. You do feel like a dragon.
Oh, it's really, really good. Thank you very much, Carl.
Yeah,
no problem.
I bet if we get a lighter and hold it up to your mouth, it's just hot. It would probably... Right?
Well, we'll continue to sip on this, but the other topic I wanted to bring up was... it's one I've had on the docket for a while, but I just haven't gotten around to it. So it's not like super new news at the moment, but it's still an interesting situation. There was a lawsuit brought against Blue Moon, specifically Miller Coors, who owns Blue Moon. So I'll read you from the article. It's from Beer Street Journal.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's a website I'm taking this from. Earlier this year, a Blue Moon drinker, Evan Parent... That's this dumbass's name. Filed
Tell us how you really feel, Carl.
Yeah, filed a lawsuit against Blue Moon Brewing, a division of Miller Coors. The suit contends that Blue Moon has misled him into thinking he was buying a craft beer. The source of this confusion is Blue Moon's marketing phrase, artfully crafted, while masking who truly owns the brand. Through this misrepresentation, Blue Moon / Miller Coors justifies charging up to 50% more for the, quote, craft product. So, Miller Coors, when they came back at this, they basically said, look, while there are countless definitions of craft, there is not a legal definition of craft. Therefore, basically, anyone can use it in whatever way they want to. So, whatever.
Well, and it never claimed that it was a craft beer, did it? It just said artfully crafted.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But he's saying that the fact that it has crafted in there means it's a craft beer, which, I mean, it's reading into it, but I don't know. What do you guys think? And then I'll just go off.
Well,
I had a student whose last name was Craft, so maybe I can get him to do all my beers, so that way I can truly call it a craft beer.
Or maybe you should just assume, since his last name's Kraft, that he owns Kraft Singles.
Oh. Mac and cheese.
This was the
Kraft mac and cheese. Yeah. Anything.
Not processed cheese.
Oh, okay.
Although I do enjoy processed cheese once in a while.
Cheese well, whiz?
I haven't had Blue Moon in a very long time. That was actually, that would be my gateway beer into the craft beer. Because I definitely moved from the Budweiser into Blue Moon, and then I went from Blue Moon into basically Duclaw beers. And then
that's a hell of a jump, man.
Well, I started dating a lovely lady and met Carlin.
Yeah.
And we had like a kind of like a double date, I guess, at Duclaw, and I had some of their beers and fell in love with it, and that kind of really jump started my life into the craft beer thing. So I haven't had Blue Moon in a long time, but I would assume somewhere on that can or bottle, it would probably say distributed or owned by Miller.
Right.
Somewhere in there. I only assume it's got to. If they do, they obviously do own it, so I only assume that somewhere on there it says distributed by or owned by.
So technically the information's there, but at the same time, how many people read what's on the labels? You know, like, I feel like most people just read and be like, okay, it's this brewery and this is the beer. Maybe read the ABV. Done.
Maybe see if they can get 5 cents for recycling.
Yeah, well, that too. If you're in the right state, correct.
Yeah. All right, here's my question with this. Aren't there laws that state that if you are advertising something, it has to be advertised as what it is?
Right.
Not, like, truth in advertising law or something like that. Right, you can't
mislead.
So, the advertising is obviously okay if the government's not going after them, correct? Right.
Yeah, technically.
So isn't this just a problem of the consumer not being informed about what he or her is drinking?
Yeah, and I think that's my take on it. My personal take on it when I heard about this initially was that as much as I don't like Miller Coors, I'm not a fan, I don't like what they do, and I don't like when you misrepresent something, I don't really think this was an instance of them
maliciously doing it.
Well, I mean, they probably intended people to think it was craft by saying artfully crafted, but they weren't doing it like straight up. You know, it was more like under the surface type thing. Like they were kind of like, well, we'll just put artfully crafted and maybe some people kind of think. But in the end, especially with stuff like this, because it's nothing earth-shattering, you know. It's up to the consumer to educate themselves.
Yeah.
And you have a thing called the internet, and you have something called Google. So if this individual, Evan Parent...
I'm still using Ask Jeeves, so I don't know what your Google is.
Right. So if this individual, Evan Parent, was so concerned... if he was so concerned about making sure he's drinking actual...
Netscape Navigator.
...craft beer, then he could have taken 10 seconds... to get online and say, go to Google and be like, is Blue Moon craft beer?
Yeah.
Or who owns Blue Moon? And you would get that information immediately.
I've pulled up lists of breweries that like Budweiser and Miller Coors own. And you can literally, like you say, find it in 10 seconds, pull up the list and go down through and be like, oh, I didn't realize that so-and-so is owned by Miller Coors or by Bud. But... it brings up the question, like, do you care?
Right.
Because I had this discussion with somebody at Super Subs the other day. Because, like, Goose Island's owned by Budweiser. It is a Budweiser product.
Right.
But it's still one of those beers that when you go out Black Friday, if you're not in line or you don't, you know, you're not there within an hour or two, it's gone.
Yeah.
You can't get it.
And it's the craft beer geeks who are lining up for that.
Right.
Like,
so, and they know.
The geekiest of the geeks.
Right, and they know that it's owned by Bud, but they don't care.
Right.
So yeah. This guy's suing. He obviously likes it if he drank it for years. So why does he care that it was, in his opinion, misrepresented? I don't care that Goose Island's owned by Budweiser. As long as Goose Island still puts out a quality product that I like and enjoy, I really don't care who owns it.
Yeah.
Now, I want to add a little disclaimer to this. You know, years ago when I got into craft beer, I would avoid anything that Budweiser owned. Just because I didn't like what they were doing. I didn't like they were buying up little breweries and changing things around and doing all this and that. But eventually, like, for me, it just taste one. And Goose Island, you know, it's back on my radar.
Yeah, yeah.
And anything that Budweiser does that is done well, I'm okay with. I mean,
well,
I hate to say that because I'm still not a huge Budweiser fan. Of course, I don't like Walmart either, but but if they put out a good product, I don't care. So why does this guy care? Why is he still suing?
Well, first of all, I'll say that I think that the way that Budweiser used to operate versus how they operate now is very different.
True.
So it was easier to hate them years ago because they were trying to kill craft breweries with litigation and stuff like that. Whereas now they've kind of accepted, well, this craft thing's not going away, so instead we're going to try and mesh with it. We're going to try and buy the breweries. We'll let them keep doing what they're doing, be very hands-off, and we'll just collect the profits.
Yeah.
So they're more benign now than they used to be. They were very malicious years ago.
Wasn't it Budweiser that was trying to sue Dogfish Head because they called their beer Pumpkin Ale?
Yeah.
And they said it was too generic?
Right.
Meanwhile, Budweiser produces a natural light.
Right, yeah.
I don't think it gets much more generic than natural light.
I think it comes down to, for me, people do forget about it more nowadays because, well, people typically have shorter memories. So what's been going on within the last year or two is typically what people are thinking of.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of more like whatever. But for this instance, this individual obviously cares a lot, but not enough to do their own research, which only takes like less than a minute.
Does he really care? Or does he think he can get some money out of the
Budweiser
corporation?
I don't know. I don't know where this stems from. Does he think he's just going to be like a crusader for craft beer lovers and they're going to be like, oh, you're so amazing. You're so great because you're fighting this fight. Or, yeah, does he think he's going to get some money and that's the underlying thing behind this?
You know what this reminds me of? Have you gentlemen ever seen Bob and Doug McKenzie's The Great White North?
Yeah.
The movie Strange Brew?
Yes. Yep.
It reminds me of when they put the mouse in the bottle and try to go to the brewery and they're like, look, I have a mouse in a bottle and I think that entitles me to a free case, eh? Like, they're just trying to get free beer from the breweries all they
from
want.
From Elsinore.
Elsinore beer, yes.
Elsinore's name. And if anyone out there has not seen Strange Brew, if you're a beer fan, you have to see the movie Strange Brew. It's hilarious.
Yeah, Rick Moranis is brilliant in that. And Dave Thomas. Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas.
And by the way, one of the best quotes in it, Rick Moranis' character is stuck in a beer vat, and it's filling with beer.
And
they're going to try and drown him.
Oh,
and he's sitting there, and he goes, my brother and I used to say that drowning in beer would be like heaven. Now he's not here. I got two soakers. This isn't heaven. This sucks. Soakers would be soaking feet. So, because Canadian, you know, there's a little bit of a language barrier.
It's stereotypical Canadian. I don't think it's actually...
It's over the top Canadian.
Yeah.
But
and I love it that they call their dog Hoser.
Yeah.
That makes me laugh. And it looks like a skunk.
But anyway, in summation on the topic, Evan Parent, you're an ass and an idiot.
Unless you listen to this podcast, and then we love you, please rate us on iTunes.
That's true, yes. In that case, you can send me an email and say, actually, I'm not an ass. And I like Brutal Battle, and I'll be like, okay.
You know? Actually, it'd be great to have him on and see what his perspective is on
that,
this.
Well, that is true, because we don't know all of it.
My thing is, if he is a craft beer lover, why is he stuck on Blue Moon? There are definitely a lot more better wheat beers than what Blue Moon's doing.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
But it could have been a situation where he got into Blue Moon, and he thought it was a craft beer, so he was like, oh yeah, I'm into craft beer now. And he was
getting
going around and being like, hey, I'm a craft beer guy. And then someone finally dropped it on him and was like, "What? Hey, that's not a craft beer, really. It's owned by Miller Coors." And then he just turned his world on its head.
Yeah.
You know, like, it just destroyed everything, and people were, like, laughing at him, like, nightmare sequence laughing at him like, you're not into craft beer.
We need to get him on the show to get his opinion.
It's like that part in Carrie where they dump the pig blood on her and she's the laughing stock of the whole school.
That's right, that was Evan.
They dumped the blue moon on him and he was the laughing stock of the beer community.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know, I don't know, it drives me crazy. We live in such a litigious society now.
Yeah, that's
the issue. And he can't think he's going to win, right?
He does.
There's no way he can think.
Evan, this Black Tuesday is for you.
A true craft beer.
He's going up against Miller Coors. Miller Coors is what, the second or third largest beer producer in the world?
Yeah.
Maybe not the world.
Well, I don't think he had much of a leg to stand on in the first place because there really is no legal term for craft. So,
which brings up another good point. Should they actually make a legal term for craft now?
Should they
put a barrel limit on it or something like that?
I don't think so. It's just a word people started using.
Because Sam Adams is in that limbo stage. They don't know what they're technically classified as right now.
I thought theirs was that microbrewery.
I mean, tomorrow breweries could just decide we want to move to just handmade. You know, they want that's their term. Like handmade beer. You know, like you can move to whatever term you want to. It's just, I don't know. Words are words. And
it's like organic.
Well, that's a whole nother thing. We won't get into that right now.
Yeah, you don't want to get me started on that.
No. But
let's get started on these beers here.
Oh, a good segue.
That's good. Kyle's been making transitions like no other these past couple episodes. I don't even know if you've realized you've been doing it, but you've had some great transitions.
Oh, thank you.
So I figured I got to lay one in there.
Oh, thanks.
Very good. Well, A is very orange.
I'm
going to
take another sip of this Black Tuesday before I get into the mission.
Yeah, well, that might be a mistake, but yeah, go ahead.
Taking a sip of the Black Tuesday is never a mistake.
A, I'm smelling lots of hops. Almost get a little bit of like a skunky hoppiness to it. A little bit of like a cat pee.
Orange peel. Orange peel out of this.
There's lots of that. Some flowery aspect, very floral, some grassy notes in there. Grapefruit to it. Lots more orange though. There is tons of orange.
I get mostly the orange and a little bit of skunkiness.
Yeah, little pine.
Smells good though.
Smells really good.
I like what it has to offer.
Smells very much like the way I like my IPAs or Imperial IPAs.
A little citrusy for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you're digging down on that. What do you think? Digging down. Oh, good lord.
Very.
Is that a thing?
Kicking it. I have no idea.
Very floral in the flavor. Usually when I get hoppy beers nowadays, I get a lot of citrus up front. I get a lot more like flowers up front with this one. A little potpourri-esque.
And it's... And it's got the matching bitterness that comes with the floral.
I agree, for sure.
It's like that kind of like that light, tingly bitterness that kind of floats around in your mouth.
Yeah, there's a good amount of bitterness. There's some of that pine you were talking about, Kyle.
A little bit.
Popping up in there.
Yeah.
And I'm getting the orange, but the orange is actually being masked a lot by that flowery note.
I feel like I say this with a lot of IPAs that I think have orange in them. It's not the fruit, it's the peel.
Yes.
Right.
It's like when you take that microplane and just shave off that little bit of skin.
Yeah. The orange zest.
Zest. Thank you. That was the word I was looking
for. Yeah. I would say that about this for sure.
But I'm not sure if it's actually that or if it's just because there's a little bit of bitter to it, too.
Yeah. Rebecca's coming in to grab a bottle of Black Tuesday, so the ladies outside can try it.
Drink responsibly.
Yeah, drink very responsibly. That's a big-ass beer.
Save us some.
And save us some. I mean, it's good, but I'm kind of taken aback by how flowery it is.
Yeah, it's decent. It's not my style of IPA that I go to. I'm very much more of the citrusy, fruity flavors.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I think of IPAs, I think of basically four flavors that come to mind. Floral, pine, citrus, and bitter.
Yeah.
Is there any other flavors that I'm missing when I think of, like, hops and IPAs?
Cat pee.
Grass. Yeah, but usually,
dank.
But usually the...
Sticky.
Yeah, but usually
sticky,
the...
Sticky. Sticky. Yeah, some of them taste a little more sticky.
I'd say cat pee is more of a scent.
Because citra hops, mm-hmm. they smell like cat pee, but they taste very citrusy.
That's, yeah.
So like the four, yeah, maybe dank, but dank is so hard to describe anyway.
It is.
It's one of those, you just say it and you know what it references
yeah.
to.
Yeah, or like resin. Resin's yeah. very hard yeah, to describe. Yeah, that too. Yeah. But like it's those four basic groups, and I'm getting a lot of floral and a lot of bitter out of this.
Yeah,
a little bit of too. Pine and a little bit of that like mm-hmm. citrus rind.
Yeah.
So it's actually hitting like all four of the taste that I expect to get from a hop.
I agree with that.
I just don't like the proportion that they're in.
Yeah, I get a ton of floral up front, mm-hmm. and then the finish is bitter. So bitter. The more desirable flavors are in the middle.
Yeah,
but yeah. All right, well let's move to B. B is a lot darker. It's brown. It looks brown.
Yeah,
this actually looks kind of like the last. That we did,
yeah, it kind of does. Last bit, yeah. Last episode,
that heavy seas one.
All right, what do you smell on that?
Oh man, does that smell?
Is that
cinnamon raisin cookies?
I could get a little of that.
Is that what it is?
I get a little milk chocolate as well, a little vanilla
oatmeal,
as well.
Oatmeal raisin, excuse me.
Yeah, okay, so oatmeal that's cinnamon raisin. A little better, yeah. Like,
I can get like an oatmeal aspect. I don't know if I get a whole lot of. I don't really get a cinnamony aspect.
No, I get more like that, kind of like oatmeal.
Like an oatmeal raisin.
Yeah, I could get an oatmeal. I can get like a little bit of a milk chocolate. I get vanilla on there.
Never heard of an oatmeal being in anything other than a stout.
There's a first for everything, yeah. You know?
I get kind of like bubblegum, but...
I can see that a little bit. I get a little bit of a citrusy hoppiness just peeking through at the end.
When it first came in and I smelled it, my first impression was like a Cascadian dark ale, but the color doesn't really match. Because I did pick up a little bit of the hops.
Yeah, I definitely pick up some of the hops.
So that's why I initially kind of thought it. That's what I initially thought it was, but I didn't really look at it. I smelled it and picked up a little bit of hop, but it's definitely too brown.
This to me smells more like a winter warmer or some sort of like winter beer.
Yeah, I would agree
spiced.
With that.
It smells like it's spiced to me.
A tad. Go ahead and try it. Not quite sure what's going on there.
Definitely some spices in it.
Yeah, kind of like a very muted nutmeggy flavor, I think.
I can agree with that. I can definitely agree with that. I get that kind of hoppy quality. There's a bit of there's some pininess coming through on that.
Mm-hmm.
I get a little bit of a toffee. Very slight, like not that sweet toffee, which is kind of weird to say.
I don't know if I like it. It might be because it's very different from everything else we have been drinking.
I mean, we gotta take into account that we've been drinking that Black Tuesday.
Yeah. I just can't really put my thumb on what it is. I guess if I knew what it is, it might help fill in a lot of these blank areas that I have on my feelings.
As I keep drinking it, I feel like the hoppiness is getting more. It's building more and more, and there's a decent pine in there, but there's a small backbone of. Just the slightest citrusiness to it.
I don't know what this is. I have
kind of no confused guess. On that. I feel like it's probably a version of an Imperial IPA, to be honest.
Yeah, because that bitter.
Yeah.
It has to be some sort of IPA.
In comparison, A. Actually, going from B to A, it brings the floral notes in A down a little bit.
Yeah.
And lets the citrus shine a little more.
Very true. I agree with that.
Which is making it better. Real life situations.
It's the new motto.
I mean,
I think the Black Tuesday is better than both of these beers, but yeah. They're not. Neither of these beers are bad.
The Black Tuesday might be the best beer we've had tonight.
Yeah, that's really good.
Might be. I think it is the best beer we've had tonight.
I'm telling you, the brewery is definitely becoming one of my more favorite breweries.
Oh, I know what I wanted to ask. You said you're in the Preservation Society and all that.
Yeah.
I think you had on the podcast one time, you had mentioned Springhouse was going to do something like that.
Yes, Spring...
Are they still doing that,
yes,
or what?
Yes, you'd have to check their website, but yeah, Springhouse does a society-type thing.
Since you had your peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, and they have barrel-age stuff. Like, they do, like, a barrel-age big gruesome, they do a barrel-age little gruesome, stuff like that.
Do they
ship
that, or do I get to pick it up?
Gotta pick it up. Gotta go to them.
I gotta drive down to Lancaster.
Lancaster.
All right, do we know where we're going on rating these beers, sirs?
Not really.
It's hard. I'm really conflicted.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of either one of them. I feel like A is pretty well done. I'm just not feeling it. And then B, I just don't know what to think about it. I guess if I knew what it was, I maybe could rate it better.
Yeah, I
that defeats the purpose of
defeats the whole purpose of the past 135 episodes.
Actually, it's been more than that.
Yeah, I just don't know what to think about it. I'm very confused by what it is.
Well,
you
know,
to be honest with you, they kind of have a similar flavor profile, these two beers, even though the colors are different.
They have
taste them one right after the other.
I think they're probably about the same style. They might both be Imperial IPAs, to be honest.
I don't think they're Imperial. Because I don't get the alcohol.
Well, that's true.
That I normally would.
That's true. To maybe help you guys out, if you need it, I'm going to give A a 3 and B a 2. So neither of them scoring real high, but they're not terrible.
That's actually exactly what I was thinking. That's.
You go 3 and then 2?
Yeah.
I can't say I like one over the other, so I would go probably threes on both.
Threes on both of them?
Yeah.
I'd say I like A better than B, so.
Threes on both of them. So A...
Neither one of those is a bad beer, though. I would drink either one of those if somebody gave me one.
Okay. Well, obviously, B's the slight loser with a 2.33 overall, and A's the slight winner with a 3. not exciting. I think the mystery beers for the last two episodes were a lot more exciting.
Yeah.
I think of all the mystery beers, the Tiramisu Who and the Pennsylvania Tuxedo were the best.
Yeah. What ranked higher between those two, actually? Because I know they were both up there.
Pennsylvania Tuxedo is 5.67 and the Terrapin Tiramisu Who was 6. So, real close, though.
I like that Pennsylvania Tuxedo.
Oh, yeah. It's all good.
Dogfish, please keep doing that.
Yeah, here. I'm definitely going to probably try to find another bottle of that.
Well, we have more of B, just so you know, if you want some more of it.
It's not bad. It's not too bad of a beer.
B, the loser with an overall of 2.33, is The Walking Dead Blood Orange IPA by Terrapin Brewing.
Blood Orange?
Walking Dead and Blood Orange makes sense.
It's a red IPA brewed with blood orange peel.
Huh.
Okay. I mean, well, we said we got a little citrus.
I think I was on the first one I said about orange peel.
Yeah, that
I
was.
I believe you said,
dang,
this tastes like The Walking Dead.
Definitely.
It made a beer, is what you'd said, yeah.
You might be right about this.
6.7% alcohol by
volume. Actually, that reminds me of that message I sent you the other day about Ash and the Evil Dead.
I'm not sure.
I sent you a text message about Bruce Campbell wrote a script.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Was to meet The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
No, you didn't send me.
Are you a fan of Evil Dead series?
No.
Oh, you got it.
Why
be.
Do you let him on your podcast?
Huh? I'm in the family. You. He has to, I guess.
All right, that's your homework. Okay. Watch Evil Dead 1, 2, and watch Army of Darkness.
Boom.
And then you'll love it.
Well, let's find out what the winner is with an overall 3. Slight winner is
it's like a zebra stripe.
Nebuchadnezzar Imperial IPA.
Ooh, wow, well done.
By Omnipollo, 8.5% alcohol by volume.
Yeah. I guess after 19%, 8% doesn't taste that bad.
Right. Exactly.
Real world situations.
I think that's what I just need. That needs to be like a phrase now that we just keep doing.
We need new t-shirts.
I'm, you know,
brutal battle, real world situations.
I'm okay with the Nebuchadnezzar being what it is. Like,
it's
that's
not bad.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm really disappointed in that Walking Dead beer. Really. Like, I'd heard good things, and knowing what it is, like a Blood Orange IPA, and then tasting it, that's disappointing.
It probably got the hype because it's The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
That
beer's actually dookie for what it's supposed to be.
It's okay.
But I do feel that way about a lot of red ales or red IPAs. Like, reds are always just kind of strange. They either come off very good or it's just not
high malt.
Yeah.
Any orangeness at all.
No, I get more orange out of Nebuchadnezzar. Hey, where's that from?
Omnipollo, Denmark. Yeah.
The Danes.
Yeah, we had you guys haven't heard it yet, but we had some of the other Omnipollo beers on. Because when we're recording this, those episodes haven't come out yet. There was one episode with two Omnipollo beers on it at the same time. So,
did they send you beers, or just that's
no.
The luck of the draw?
Rebecca just decided to go crazy on the Omnipollo beers. So, I think that was all predicated on the fact that she loves the Fata Morgana Imperial IPA.
That's a good beer.
It's a really good beer.
It's a good beer.
So, well, what do you guys think?
I hope the girls didn't drink the rest of the Black Tuesday.
Yeah.
I doubt they did. I don't. None of them are into the big beers.
I think if they did, knowing that they're probably all lightweights, they'd be on the floor.
They might be asleep by now. They were tired.
We can hope. We can hope that they fell asleep.
It's 11:30 right now in the evening.
Yeah.
Night's just getting started.
That's true. With the Black Tuesday, that's definitely true.
We'll sleep good tonight.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. Yes, we will. I might drink some of this in the shower, to be honest.
Nice.
Shower beer.
I've
never had a shower beer.
You must. I mean, at least once for the experience to, like, know what a shower beer is like.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, cans work best.
Yeah, PBR.
Yeah.
Is there a style that you would...
Not PBR is not what PBR. I would recommend.
Hey, there's a lot of place for every beer.
You choose PBR, so that way if some of the shower water gets in, you don't notice.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, actually. That's a very good point.
But, like, would you go with a stout or something light?
Honestly, I drink whatever.
Honestly, I'd say whatever is good for relaxing for you. You know, like, what do you want to enjoy when you're relaxing? Because the most relaxing time is in the shower.
I'm not sure a bourbon barrel beer is going to be that great in the shower.
It could be.
Really?
Yeah.
With all the hot and the steam.
I typically do IPAs in the shower, just saying.
IPAs?
Typically IPAs in the shower, but that's just me. Anyway, everyone out there listening, thanks for listening. You guys go try shower beers, too, because it is a thing and it is an amazing thing.
Send us an email. Let us know what you did.
Not what you did.
let us know what you had.
And, you know, please rate us on iTunes. That really helps out.
That's always fun.
Yeah. And, you know, send some beers. Send us some emails. Look Carlin up on Twitter and Facebook. I'll do your plugs for you if you want.
Thank you.
Look Carlin up on Twitter and Facebook, and look all three of us up on Untappd.
Yep.
Look Carlton Malibu.
Yep.
Were you Nathan Klasnick?
It could be that. It could be Deadly Dosage.
Or Red Rocket.
It's not Red Rocket. I know that much.
I'm KTN115. Look us up.
Rick
Carlin. Send us an email.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, thanks you guys for being on. We'll see when the next time we can do this is.
Thank you for having us on.
Yeah.
So it's always fun. It's always
fun. And we'll do more games, too.
Send me an email. Let me know what you thought of the games.
My God, this Black Tuesday is really hitting me right now.
And, I mean, honestly, at this point, we could probably go through... what's your first game called again?
Beer Me Bro,
yeah. That's Black Tuesday just hit me. We could probably do Beer Me Bro again because the first iteration has been so long that we might not really remember the right answers anymore.
Yeah, you would.
That's true.
Yeah, you would. I went back through them the other day when I was trying to think.
And you still got it?
Because I was trying to think of another game, and I went back through to just kind of like try to get some inspiration or something. And you do. You remember them. You remember most of them. I won't say you remember all of them. You're right. That Black Tuesday, I was okay. I was doing well.
Yeah, it just hit you like a minute ago.
Yeah, it's still not bad yet because we've been sipping.
Yeah, we'll see what happens when we stand up to leave the room.
That's going to be... And we actually...
Luckily, there's a comfy bed behind you. You can fall
Yeah, that's true. To record this, we actually like shoved a table into the corner of the bedroom in the hotel room. and it's like right near the bed, and it's actually not comfortable at all, to be honest. So real life situations.
It's not the ideal setup to stumble out of either. We gotta
you have to climb over the bed to
climb
get
over
out.
Things.
But anyway, thank you guys once again for being on. We're gonna enjoy the rest of this Black Tuesday and not the Walking Dead beer. And everyone, thanks for listening. Go ahead and send us emails, brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com. And
it's a funny email, Carl.
Yeah, it is.
At jesuschrist.com.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, stay tuned for the next episode when who the hell knows what's going to happen. Maybe real Red Rockets. but anyway, real life situation. But thanks so much, and keep it brutal.
Keep it brutal.
Keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.